All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Thanks for hanging out with me today. A lot of things going on in the news right now. Make sure that you are signed up for the Intel Report, that you are watching us on thecommonsenseshow.tv for the Intel Report. Also, the Intel Report that is on Rumble. We can't post one on YouTube because YouTube hates us, so that kind of sucks. But thankfully, we have been able to bring you a few of our very controversial at times interviews, like the ones we've recently had with Timothy Alberino over aliens, and also Mr. L.A. Marzulli. We will be, I think, tomorrow on with Pastor David Lankford, or we should be scheduling at least tomorrow. So that'll be great, be able to bring you a word from the Lord. And there's a lot of things going on currently with the politics that's going on around the world. It seems like everything that can be done right now to hamstring Donald Trump is being done. He's, as you, many of you have known, that he is now federally indicted on 37 accounts of espionage, tampering, withholding evidence, and other accounts. And it's my old agency that gets to babysit him right now over there at the courthouse in, I think it's Miami. And so this is just horrible to watch. You know, I don't care what people think about Donald Trump spiritually. That's you know, irrelevant at this point. He is the best choice that we have. And because of that, these people, these deep state, are terrified of this man, and they will not allow him to run. I mean, anything and everything that they can pull out of the hat, it's coming out. And so I don't think this indictment against Trump is going to stick. I don't really think they have anything. And they probably know they don't have anything. I think this is showmanship to try and make Trump look bad and just building up that public case against Trump, right? The border's still wide open. Fentanyl's still flowing through. Crime rates are still up. Active shooters are still going on. Nothing has changed. Wickedness is still throughout the land in America. Beef prices are starting to rise. Gas prices are starting to rise a little bit again. Stock market has gone a little haywire ever since the whole UFO disclosure nonsense has happened. And I don't really know if nonsense is the word that I would use for it, but I'm going to use it because it makes most sense right now. There's quite a bit of scuttlebutt that is going on within the Lance Corporal Underground, as we would say in the Marine Corps, but amongst the ranks of the regular rank and file federal law enforcement and intelligence agencies about this whole UFO disclosure stuff. And everybody is suspicious. I haven't talked to one person yet who doesn't go, come on, man, something's going on here. Like, this guy is this David Grush guy. All right. He's way too polite and positive. He's not animated. He's not fearful, looking over his shoulder. Something seems off. I mean, I agree with you. Something does seem off. You can call it the deception if you want. That's what I call it. And regardless of whether or not aliens exist, let me tell you, Christians, let me tell you why this matters. Because regardless if they exist or not, the deception is still happening. Our government is still deceiving us. Most likely, this will all be used for the betterment of mankind, for the New World Order. And we are all going to take one big bite out of this nasty sandwich, one way or the other. It's unavoidable. But I hope, I pray, the ministers of God, that the pastors, the leaders, the shepherds of the flocks are out and about, and that they are comforting the masses, because we're going to come in another state and time when people are going to start to lose faith, and people are going to question your faith. And not only that, but the scientific community and the government seems wholeheartedly willing to come after your faith. by saying, look over here, aliens. You can call them demons if you want. They're the enemy. No matter what, they are the enemy. They say, the government says that it's a threat. And I take it not just as a physical threat to us here on Earth. For how much of a physical threat are these beings who, you know, just keep falling out of the sky and their remarkable aircraft just crash. And I think a lot of that is our aircraft. But it's a spiritual threat. There's a spiritual threat that's not being readily talked about amongst my associates, which I sometimes get disheartened and I feel that's a problem. And the reason why I say that is because people, not only are men's hearts going to fail them for fear of what's coming up upon the earth, but there's so many grand lies and deceptions like Operation Blue Beam that could always be the next front, right? We have no idea how sophisticated we are and advanced we are currently with our holograms, but we know that we're up there. We know that we can do quite a bit. And the special access programs that the government has, they don't have to tell you what's there. Obviously, that's why these whistleblowers are coming out, supposedly, right? Supposedly. But do not believe your lying eyes. Do not believe everything you are told. Do not believe the false prophets who are going to be coming out saying that these are our alien gods, our masters, our creators, the real creators. They finally came back to visit us like they've been saying in every science fiction film since many of you, like me, were children and watching it growing up in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Now, there's another problem here. And that problem lies within the Christian community of what is considered to be right and wrong in all of this. I'm not going to say make an apology, but I want to be compassionate to people in their beliefs. For my flat earth friends out there, you are my friends. If you are a brother in Christ, you are a brother of mine. I do not care if you believe in the flat earth. You should not care if I don't believe in the flat earth. The flat earth or non-flat earth is not salvation. Jesus Christ and his redemptive blood, what he did on the cross, that is our salvation, right? So let's find a even keel to stand on and say that is the foundation of our faith, is our Lord Jesus. The only way to the Father is through the Son. Furthermore, I get disheartened, and actually Timothy Alberino and I had talked about this. I become disheartened when I read the comments section, not just on Twitter, not just on the YouTube stuff, but also on Rumble, and I see Christians attacking each other over their beliefs, foolish beliefs. You'll have a person who will say, I'm an expert because I say so. Listen to everything that I say, and what Doug and Dave Hodges and Tim Alberino are saying are wrong because I say so. Or these guys are right, but they're completely against God because they don't believe the earth is flat. So they're part of the deception. They're part of the problem. Friends, let me tell you something. If that is of your mindset, then you are part of the deception and you are part of the problem. UFOs and aliens are not going to save us. The knowledge of the shape of the world is not going to save us. I think the world is a globe and we have a hollow earth and we don't know what's down there. If anything, there have been more sightings of UFOs coming out of caves and the water and volcanoes than we have had of them being in the sky and coming down and visiting us. There's been more photographic proof. Anyways, so let's understand that this whole business of talking about UFOs is already doing what they planned it would do. It would disrupt the masses. It would pull our eyes off of salvation. It would pull our eyes off of trying to continue in the conquest of winning souls for the kingdom. And it also pulls our eyes off of the current geopolitical atmosphere. World War III is most likely still going to happen. There's quite a few things within this parameter of politics that is happening. Here, let's go over one of them. We'll go over a few of them. How about that? Currently, if you are not aware, and this goes to show you that we are meddling very badly. The United States military has reallocated many nuclear bombs across Europe. The B-61 nuclear gravity bombs that are now stored in Volkel, Kleinbrogel, so that's going to be in, it appears to be France, Germany, and Spain. So we have five bases right there. Estimated number of US B-61 nuclear weapon gravity bombs, 100. And Incirlik. So then we have Turkey. So yeah, six different bases where we are housing 100 nuclear bombs. Why would we be doing that? Well, because we're probably preparing to use them. U.S. has secretly deployed about 150 nuclear weapons on air bases in Europe without any official announcement. The nukes are in Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, Turkey, and Italy. Now the United States is set to approve depleted uranium tank rounds for Ukraine. And then we also have this. The United States will sacrifice Zelensky to cover up its crimes. According to a former CIA analyst, Washington is ready to take such a step to hide its own crimes related to the diversions of the Nord Streams and the undermining of the hydroelectric power plant that's recently blown up. One of this guy's quotes says, "One element of our government is prepared to throw Zelensky under the bus, as we say in Washington," the CIA veteran pointed out. I can't disagree with them. I've actually been thinking about this for quite some time, that it does seem like we're going to throw Zelensky under the bus. We're going to allow this man to be Gaddafi'd. Or they'll do like Saddam Hussein. He'll have to go running into a spider hole until we come and find him. And there's not much hope there for what's going on. Not much hope. But yet we're still funneling. Weapons, ammunition, military vehicles, just not the manpower. Now, Ukraine is reaching over to Australia, asking if they can have any of their decommissioned F-18 pilots or jets. Well, who are going to pilot them? These are sophisticated aircraft. These guys got to get flight time. We'll see. And even so, if they get F-16s, if Ukraine does get their 10 F-16s and they get, you know, half a dozen F-18s, it's not going to make a difference against Russia. And let me tell you something else. This is just my understanding of the playing field as I am observing it. If we move our guys into Europe, which they already are, and we're already moving nuclear weapons into Europe, which we already have, then most likely we are going to be prepared for a first strike on Russia. But Russia is also prepared for a first strike on us. A first strike on Europe, Ukraine, Poland, Belgium, the Netherlands, France, maybe Turkey. We'll see. But their ability to reach out and touch us is just as dangerous as our ability to reach out and touch them. And by that, I'm talking about cyber war. The ability to attack grids via cyber hacking, terrorism. The ability to attack the banking system. These are very real and complicated scenarios that in the government, we would game play all the time. What do we do when this happens? How do we prepare for this? And now we're throwing in artificial intelligence into the mix. I'm willing to bet that something like this is going to occur. Somebody is going to have the first shot heard around the world towards Russia, between NATO and Russia. And then very quickly, things are going to escalate out of control. There might be nukes launched. Nobody currently living right now in America, unless you are a survivor of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, has ever experienced a nuclear attack. No one, not one person in the federal government, can even comprehend what that's going to be like. We game plan it, but we have no idea the type of cleanup that's going to be. Now, that's just one attack. Imagine multiple. It would destroy our country. Economically, it would destroy us. Morally, it would destroy us. Plus, not only that, you launch nukes at us, buddy, we're launching nukes at you. So there would be a limited amount of time where missiles would be flying in the air and then coming right back down. Multiple reentry vehicles, things that we can't shoot down. The Air Force has already admitted to that. I don't care how many times they come out right now and say it. Our Space Force defense platforms and all these other great things, they're not tested, as far as I know, in any live fire event. And when the United States Air Force did come out with Congress and they talked about our ability to shoot down an ICBM, they said 9 times out of 10, our missiles miss their missiles. And it's like trying to hit a bullet with a bullet. Now, that was 2016. Things have changed. We've advanced a little bit in technology, but so has the Russians. And the Russians have hypersonic missiles. We are creating a hypersonic bomber. I don't know which one is worse. I would still say the missiles are probably worse. But this is the current atmosphere that all you are living in right now. Many of you are not spending money on anything. I talk to these guys who sell the food, who sell all the emergency equipment, a lot of the websites that you guys go to, some of the bigger ones. And everybody right now is seeing profit loss. Everybody. No one's buying anything. But I wonder why. Could it be because they don't believe in the products? Surely not. Surely not. It's because people believe that any moment in time, the entire grid is going to collapse. The entire financial situation is going to implode. And what you have in your pocket and what you can get out of your bank and your ATM before that goes is all you'll have. Recently, over the weekend, we had a storm. I'll talk about a little preparedness thing for you. We had a pretty good storm come through, knocked the power out from probably, 9 o'clock to 5 in the morning. And it's really hot right now in Texas. And so the inside of the house was muggy because it was raining and it was just miserable. And I have some of these little portable, cheap, battery-operated fans. Well, stupid me did not read the box, and I thought it was just C batteries. Well, there were D cell batteries. So now, at 11 o'clock at night, can't stand the heat anymore. So I got to go 45 minutes into town to try and get D cell batteries from Walgreens. Thankfully, they were open. And by the time I get back, I got the little fan box up and going. 3 hours later, the power's back on. Yay, thank God for modern technology. Because our homes are not made to not have a air circulation system. They're just not made that way. And if you raise open all your windows with all the humidity, guess what you're letting into the house if you don't have screens? Bugs. You're letting in the humidity and the moisture coming into your home, right? All things that are not good for the home. So consider this. We had a bunch of 100-hour lamps, little they're called lamps, but they're really candles. I think I bought like a box of 20 of them for probably $40 on Amazon. You know, they're great. They're great. We've used them probably for 2 years and have not gone through 100 hours yet on any of these little things. So, yeah, I mean, that does help, right? Because batteries get expensive and you want to save your batteries for your flashlights. But it makes me think more and more about the going solar. And currently I'll have a project going on here soon where I'm going to get some solar panels. I'm going to get the ability to install lights in my garage. And so at night, the only thing that'll be on will be the lights that'll be coming from the solar panels. So not only do I go kind of around the Texas grid, but it's a working theory of trying to see how much lumens do I need to properly still, you know, do what I need to inside the little workshop that I have. And just to test some other things out, you know, charging batteries and all this other stuff. And I know plenty of you right now know way more than me about solar, and that's great. Leave it all in the comment section below on the YouTube and Rumble page. In fact, if you actually know the science of this and you've got it down pat and you know the equipment that you're using and it works well for you, like for me, I go with Gold Zero. They're probably the most expensive, but to me, it's plug and play, so it's easy. I'm not having to calculate joules and all this other stuff. But if you got that, you know, you got that science down, please write it up in a long thing. Put it in the comment section. People read it. People learn quite a bit from, you guys learn quite a bit from each other in the comic section. And in our Wrecker Nation community, our warrior class community, our warrior priest community, you know, we need to be able to help one another because the time is coming, my friends. The time is coming when we are going to reap what we have sowed. The blood of the innocents that we have shed in this country in the name of science. The innocent babies that are killed every day, murdered every day in these abortion clinics. The real abortions are the ones who are walking around calling themselves doctors. Those are the walking abortions. That's what we used to call you in the Marine Corps. You're a walking ad for an abortion. It's abhorrent behavior. It's very much satanic. There's no way that it's not. And since we have not stopped any of this, and that's one of my complaints with Donald Trump, he wouldn't flat out stop Planned Parenthood. He wouldn't flat out make you know, unborn children a priority of safety. And for me, I take that serious, and I think for many of you, you take that serious. That's great that I see a funny tweet every now and then. It makes me laugh, but what about the lives that are being lost every day? Why don't we focus on that? Instead of Ron DeSantis, who no one seems to trust, and Donald Trump, who no one wants to listen to anymore, since you two guys are the front runners, why don't you work together? Why don't you put your stupid egos away, all right? Trump's going to be president. DeSantis, you'll be vice president. Work together. You both claim to be Christians. So why don't, for the betterment of mankind and the betterment of your countrymen, put aside your egos, put aside whatever malice you have, and say, hey, we can work together and help save this country. But instead, what you two do is you point your finger at each other. You make these wicked accusations about each other. You're not helping any of us. You're dividing us. You're dividing us. The Democrats will all come together, all of them, to include Kennedy. They'll all come together and they'll vote for something that is almost always unconstitutional, that is almost always immoral or against God. And look, Kennedy coming out saying that he's running for president, he's going to be like his uncle JFK. I don't believe him. Y'all can believe him for however much you want. The man still claims to be a Democrat, and the Democratic Party is all about everything that is un-American currently. So, no, you don't get my vote. Period. I'm tired of voting for all these people as it is. That's why I'm an independent now. I don't believe the Republican Party. I think they've all sold out. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene has sold out. You can't go to the swamp and not get muddied. Obviously, not every senator and congressman is walking around in the filth, but most of them are. And it's the most of them that vote. You know, the ones that we say that are good, as far as we know, when they vote against something that we say we don't want as Americans, and our princes that be, our 50 little dictators, will come out and vote for it anyways. Well, how does that help any of us, right? So I want you to consider what is happening. My wife just sent me a meme. It says, guess who will still be your friend no matter who you vote for? Not me, because I'm not friends with communists. That's true. I am not friends to communists. I am not at all. Better dead than red. I hope here soon that Americans find a little bit of vindicta, a little bit of that inner hatred towards evil. Because what's coming upon this nation is going to happen because we did not listen to God. We stopped listening. We started listening to ourselves. We started listening to the bankers and the scientists, the toy makers, the tinkers, the war makers. And we stopped listening to the maker. Last night I was in prayer, and this is a word that God gave me. I'd like to be able to share it with you. I hope that it blesses you. I hope that you get something out of this. This is what God put on my heart last night. It's titled, I Saved You, But You Didn't Listen. You Didn't Finish What You Started. Now, I have been hearing you didn't finish what you started for the last couple of weeks. I don't know about you guys, but when I hear from the Lord, it's right upon waking up. Like that moment when you first start to, you know, become aware, come out of your sleep and you wake up, that's when the Lord speaks to me. And this is what I've been hearing. It's so funny for me to even say these things if you knew who I was several years ago. Glory be to God. I am not a godless heathen anymore. So I want to start with Judges chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. He said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now, last night I was very moved when I read this. It moved me to tears. As a father, I think about these things when I have to chastise one of my children. And when you think about what God has done in your life, the miracles he has performed in your life, the things that you could never overcome on your own, and then just one day, after that, you know, time on your face or in your prayer closet, and God moved. And you knew for a fact, this wasn't me. This was my God who did this. Glory be to him. And how many times, like you foolish people in America that have listened to me and have ignored countless others who have come before me, who have said this before, stop your wicked ways, or you will call down the fire upon your own home. So I was moved by the Father last night as I was reading this. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Remember Israel? I will be your God and you will be my people. I will take care of you. He said, I led you from Egypt. I did. I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. You were all slaves. You were all chained together, being whipped, tortured, starved, murdered. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you. Because it wasn't just the Egyptians who oppressed you. And I drove them out before you. And I gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. I am your Lord. And you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites. Not just not worship them, but you shall also not fear them. Because now you dwell in their land. I did all this for you, but you have not obeyed my voice. So during this time, the people of Israel had suffered multiple defeats of the enemies, which led to their enslavement or to their being held in captivity. Why? Because they did not finish what they started. God had the Israelites go out to conquer lands from these wicked kingdoms, and then divided up the fruits of their labor, and the lands that were conquered were divided amongst the tribes of Israel after crossing the River Jordan. But there was a warning that was sent to them by the prophet Joshua in chapter 23, verse 2. Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and its officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, all along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you this day. One man of you puts off to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Today, church, the body of Christ, We are trying to make new wine and old wineskins. We are mixing with other nations that we should not be. We are mixing with other people that we should not be. We are diluting the word of God by allowing reprobate nonsense into the church. The church, the body of Christ, is now a rotting body, a dilapidated structure. And God witnesses this. And God still to this day, especially us here in America, put forth America in the place of Israel. Look at how many times God has saved America. Look how many wars we have gone through that we have been successful because we said our forefathers made this nation in representation of Israel, made this nation under God. We would uphold his commandments. We would be a godly people, even though we never were from the very beginning. But yet here we are now, a land of mixed beliefs, a land of many gods, and a land of many turmoils. We were not careful. We did not love the Lord our God. We took his name in vain. We took his mercy in vain. We took his victories in vain. And we grew fat upon our victories. But, as Joshua is saying, he then delivers a very ominous warning, a most ominous warning that was given to the people of Israel, one that we should learn, not to mingle with an unclean people or strange gods or customs that are sinful. We should always be mindful of the many battles that God has fought in our lives, the boundless protection he has over each of us individually in our lives, and how so easily that we can slip the reins of his loving protection and run straight into the open, consuming maws of the enemy. Willfully, knowing right from wrong, and ignoring God's laws. Joshua 23, verse 12 through 16 says, "For if you turn your back and cling to the remnant of these nations," listen to this warning, "for if you turn your back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you." Think about that, church. The LGBTQRS pedophile group that is now calling themselves ministers and pastors, preachers, mixing with unclean spirits, unclean people, not just those of that community, but also the wickedness of our politicians. Joe Biden claiming to be a Catholic, a Christian, along with many of our other representatives, and every one of them taking table taking money from underneath the table from the communist, approving everything that is going against the word of God. If anything, taking the word of God out of our government buildings, out of our schools, our hospitals, out of the law offices. Not even the law represents the law of God, which is obvious. That's why it's abused so readily. Joshua goes on to say, "And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you." Think about that. All the promises God has told you, have any of them not come true? Or the things that you thought didn't come true, did they not happen because your sin is in the way? All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you. This reminds me of Red Dawn in so many different ways. Look at this good land that we have here in America. We have probably the best structure of a country, economics, laws, at one point in time, justice for all, the strongest military, the strongest harbors and shipping. We were the hammer of the earth. We are the new empire that rules the world. And everybody knows it. Everybody knew it. And we proved it over and over again. And little by little, the benevolence that was once America was quickly eroded by the tares that were sowed in with the wheat. And that's our politics. The way of the world grew into America like weeds amongst your roses and overtook everything. Now what do we have left to show for all of our hard work? What do we have left to show for the history that America once was? How we changed the world. We were the light of the world now. Well, we were the light of the world then. The only light that'll be coming, I guess, soon will be the one from the nuclear bombs. We progressively got worse because, pastors, you got weak. You stayed behind your pulpit with your 501c3. I was listening to Pastor David Wilkerson a couple days ago, and what he was saying really moved me. It was actually a story he told on himself. I'm very proud to have heard him say it. He said, during the sermon, he said, you know, there was a young man, this young black man in the back who has dreadlocks that goes all the way down to the floor. Now, somebody in this church better tell him before he comes back to service next Sunday that he better have a haircut. And I was listening. I was like, wow, okay. Jesus said, come as you are. That's a little disheartening to hear from this man that I listen to his preaching all the time. And he said, I want to tell you a story. Long ago, I was preaching to a bunch of hippies. And I said this, the way you dress, the way your hair is, before you come back to service, better clothes, haircuts, all of you. You know what the crowd said afterwards? They said, Pastor, that was such a good sermon, but we could not see the magnificence of our Lord. And he said, why? I said, well, because your pretty suit got in the way. See, this is one of my problems with the corporate church, is that all of you right now think whenever you go to church, what, polos, three-piece suit, two-piece suit, shirt tucked in, wearing your belt, shoes shined, hair slicked back. Is that the way people dressed when the master was walking around? No. But that's the way you've been programmed and trained to think. Now, I don't think you should be going to church in your pajamas, but I'm glad you just showed up. Praise God, you got out of bed. You decided to come and get some worship in. But many people don't think like that. I need to look good for my church. I can't tell you how many times I've heard disgusting pastors say that, wearing Armani suits, these, you know, suits that cost $3,000 or $4,000. They got their big, pretty Rolex on their wrist for everyone to see. And while they're up there in their rich man's suits and their rich man's watch, they tell the people that are typically poor to make sure you take all your money and you put it in these bowls. It's for the church. For what? Your new basketball arena? Your new daycare? Are you giving to the orphans and the widows? Are you helping the elderly? Ask yourself that. If you're an elder of the church, where is your money going to? There's a church here in town. I was actually quite shocked. My wife and I had went to it. I was actually quite shocked. We had stayed over a little bit to conversate with people, and I guess we were there for their monthly meeting of how much money the church is bringing in, the budgeting, and it was $1 million for that month. $1 million. This is a little, well, it's not a little, but it's just a little Church of Christ building. Looks like a castle almost. And I'm just looking around going, where are you, what are you doing with this $1 million? Hopefully that's being redisseminated out to the staff, to the people that are there, barely getting by. Look, I've never ran a church. I'm not going to run a church. I don't think that's what God has me on this world to do. But I don't believe, churches should be the way they are right now. It's not a community rock festival. You know, when you go to church, guys, you've seen this before. People look at the way you dress and they give you that look. At least that's what's happened to me, right? That's what's happened to me. I've been disinvited to churches because I'm covered in tattoos. Can't help it. I tan this way. But this is one of the many problems in the Americanized church. You know, we were listening to another pastor. He's out of Uganda. I know quite a few guys who come from Uganda. Uganda, Kenya, Sudan, the Congo. And he's talking about how he had to go into the Congo to set up a new church. And along the way, you would see piles of bodies, skeletons and skulls piled up on display by the warlords. And one of the churches that he had to go into, they had to move skeletons out of the building because there were so many of them in order to clean up the building. It's, I guess they just went and dumped their dead in there. For many westernized Americans, let's just stop here with Americans. For many of you, you have no idea what being a Christian means on the outside of your, you know, little scope of knowledge. You have no idea. And that's, I believe that's where a lot of the true miracles are still going on, because those people are having to endure every day, to endure death, poverty, famine, plague, war. What do you have to endure? Rising electric bills and gas. They don't have enough chicken nuggets at McDonald's. What is the real pains that America has? Because of our success at the industrial complex, which so many people love to talk about, the industrial complexes and the military and this and that. You got everything you got right now because of those industrial complexes. The good things and the bad things. It's the reason why we're a first world nation. But third world nations? Man, some of you guys just don't understand. we experienced similar things in Iraq. Going through these little villages, the Christians that were out there who were having to hide their faith, hide themselves, because they'd be killed. Just like in China, the churches are underground because they're being hunted on the streets. How many of you have faith to continue to press forward in spreading the gospel, knowing your neck could wind in a noose? I almost wish we had this type of anguish here in America, because then we would have a revival. But don't worry. We continue to muck around in the waters of war, we're going to get splashed. I've always said it, the great equalizer of all weapons is an EMP. Bring us back to the freaking Stone Age. You'll have people out in the streets stabbing each other. Like in Africa, chasing each other down with hatchets and machetes. Tribal wars. Towns won't communicate in that highway or byway that you used to take to go from one town to the other. You won't be able to take it anymore. It'll be a military checkpoint. You want into my town? Give me a reason. Or pay a toll. God knows what a toll would be during those times. Some of you better start getting it into your head just how ugly things can get. Or do yourself a little Googling and find out. Find out what life is like in some of these other countries. Give you some perspective to the dangers. Half the reason why I tell people train, prep, and pray. When the lights go out, you're probably not going to be sharing your tuna casserole with your neighbor. You're probably going to be hunting down the local cats that are breeding like wildfire, and that'll be part of your protein for your diet, your new post-apocalyptic America diet. God fought for his people. God defeated the armies that the Israelis can't. He fought them, he defeated them. Conquered lands that they had no ability to contest in a military struggle. And God proved to his people every time that he would keep his word, as it is said in Romans 3:4, by no means let God be true, though everyone a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words, prevail when you are judged. So let's revisit what God did for his people. Joshua 24, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates and Terah, the father of Abraham and of Noah. And they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterwards I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he set and he invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I set the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you the land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Imagine that mighty rebuke from the Lord. All the things that you've done in your life, and you say, I did this, I did this. It was because of me that this got done. Half the time, I say, at least I tied my shoes today, because God, you have done everything else for me. Lord knows there's times when, you know, just an old failing injury in my back, I can't sit up straight. Hard to breathe sometimes. Hard to walk sometimes. Have to have this stupid back brace that I got to wear every now and then. And if it wasn't for the fact that I cry out to God, I don't think I'd be walking sometimes. But I endure it. As many of you will endure many pains. You will all have your own individual problems that you'll endure, but we all have the same ability to reach out to God. Lord, help me with this. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm working on this, Father. Walk with me. Show me what I must do. I seek your face. But just like the Israelis, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, would only do it for so long, and then they would forget their God and do evil in his sight. America has done the same, and because of that, America too will be taught a terrible lesson. And this land filled with fruit will all rot. We're going to be caught off guard. You're going to be thinking everything's normal, everything's fine. And then, in an unexpected moment, the world will collapse in on us because of our sins. Now, God fought them all. He defended the Israelites, and he conquered all their enemies. So, remind yourself of this. How many times has your enemies seemed too numerous, too powerful? How many times did God raise that standard and defend you, defeating your enemies, silencing the tongue of the slanderers? How many times did you pray to God for victory and it came? Did you praise him for that victory? Did you give him honor and glory and thanksgiving for your ability to walk past an enemy brought down before you, and yet you never had to raise a sword? And oh, how quickly do we seem to forget about all these blessings, and then we become lazy. How many times have you started that spiritual warfare, that physical battle that happens against the principalities and powers, and people intent on your destruction, only to see God charge over them like a heavy infantry horse charge? You were fighting the battle, and you were just getting overwhelmed. And then out of nowhere, the Lord took over. He wants to see you in the fight. Do you understand that? He wants to see you in the fight. He wants to know that you'll have some skin in the game. that you're not just going to sit on the couch and say, okay, God, change the channel, the batteries are out. That's not how this works. Your faith means a little bit more than just words to our Lord. But for many of you, did you grow complacent with the work of the Lord? That only half the effort of the fight is needed? And then the Lord will just swoop in and rescue the day. Sadly, it was on these days and trials and testings that some of us were found wanting. Some of us were not fully committed to the cause. Some of us had grown fat with victory, and we forgot about the intentions of struggling and what it's all about. Some of us don't even know what this war is. And even worse, some Christians don't believe in war at all. They have a pacifist attitude towards warfare. And that is basically biblically incorrect. Some of us, like Israel at this time, had failed to complete the conquest. We read of these first acts of complacency in Judges 1, verse 17. And Judah went with his went with Simeon, his brother, and they defeated the Canaanites who inhabited Zaphath, however you pronounce it, and devoted it to destruction. So the name of the city was called Hormah. Judah also captured Gaza with its territory, and Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. And the Lord was with Judah, and he took possession of the hill country. But he could not drive out the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. And Hebron was given to Caleb, as Moses had said, and he drove out from it the three sons of Anak. But the people of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites, who lived in Jerusalem. So the Jebusites have lived with the people of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. The house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph scouted out Bethel. Now the name city was formerly Luz. And the spies saw a man coming out of the city, and they said to him, please show us the way into the city, and we will deal kindly with you. And he showed them the way into the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword. But they let the man and all his family go. And the man went to land of the Hittites and built a city and called its name Luz. And that is the name to this day. Some people have a problem with this. But when the Lord has said their destruction, everything must be destroyed. That was the commandment that was given. And they didn't do it. They didn't listen to the word. They didn't listen to God's voice. Why would God tell his people to kill completely or drive out these people? Why were they so dangerous that God sanctioned their destruction? Much like the uncleanness you all allow now in your days, in your lives. Yet the Holy Spirit convicts you, doesn't it? And tells you, put that away. Don't even think about reading that. Stop watching that. But like the Israelites' failure, we too continue to fail in that conquest. We start off saying we want to be a Christian. We say our prayers. We bless our food. Anoint our homes. And then we watch porn. And then we gamble, we cheat, we lie, we steal, we commit adultery, we worship false gods. It's the same problem that has plagued humanity since we've all began. We're not perfect creatures. But God sent the perfect being, the God-man, Jesus, in our stead, because we could never be perfect. We were always going to be found with sin. Even the best of us would have still been found unclean in the sight of the Lord. So that's why Jesus shed his blood on that cross. And many of you forget that. Many of you think, oh, nope, Jesus died for me. I got baptized. I'm good. Skull. This once saved, always saved nonsense. Believe it if you want, friends. Sadly, we won't see each other after the race is finished. So let's read on to the failures from the Israelites and how they didn't complete the conquest. Judges 1, verses 27 to 36. Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and its villages, or Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Eblam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites persisted in dwelling in that land. When Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. And Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, or the inhabitants of Nahalal, so the Canaanites lived among them, but became subject to forced labor. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko, or the inhabitants of Sidon, or of Elab, or of Akshzib, I cannot pronounce Hebrew, or of Helba, or of Aphek, or of Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth-Anoth, so they lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Beth-Anoth became subject to forced labor for them. The Amorites pressed the people of Dan back into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down to the plain. And the Amorites persisted in dwelling in Mount Heras, and Ajalon, and in Shalbim. But the hand of the house of Joseph rested heavily on them, and they became subject to forced labor. And the border of the Amorites ran from the ascent of Akrabim, from Salah and upward. So let's talk about Israel's disobedience. Judges 2, verses 1 through 5. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land, and you shall break their altars. You shall break down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done? Imagine, fathers, how many times when you were a boy did you do something that your dad say, I'm going to tell you how to do this the right way, and you're going to do it the right way the first time, because if you do this while I'm not around, and you mess this up, I'm going to come down hard on you. I don't know, for me, that was playing with my dad's tractor, which I screwed up one time. Destroyed one of the gears. All we had to do was just listen. All the Israelis had to do was just listen. Do as God said. That's it. But they didn't. Just as many of you right now. God gave you 10 commandments. How many of them are you following? Or do you think they're called the 10 suggestions? What is this you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. As the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. You think they wept for joy? And they became, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. For you right now listening, those thorns in your sides, those sins that you won't give up, those gods that have snared you, right now, that's the principalities that are controlling these people that you believe every word that they say. Or you may actually be worshiping strange gods, as I once did when I was a young, dumb, stupid kid who didn't know any better. But how many of you right now, not a kid, an adult, you know better? You know better. Not only do you know better, but the Lord gave it to you in your heart with the Holy Spirit. And He tells you every time you start to commit a sin, stop doing that. Walk away. Look away. Rebuke that. Rebuke that thought. Ask for forgiveness. It'll be given. Turn from your wicked ways. And how many, church, from the pastors to the guy who just stumbled in off the street drunk, how many of us have been given so many chances? Eventually, the Lord is going to give it all back to you. All the things that you wanted to go and worship, He's going to give it to you. All the sins that you wanted to commit, He's going to give it to you. You will become reprobate in the eyes of the Lord. He won't hear your voice. He won't hear your cries for help. He'll ignore your prayers until you repent. So live in your sin, if that's what you choose to do. Didn't work well for the Israelites. Joshua died at 110 years old. 110 years old. And the generation that was with him served the Lord until his death. And after his death, a new generation came. One who did not know the Lord or the many works the Lord had done for Israel. Ask yourself this. How did they lose the working knowledge of what their forefathers had gone through? What happened to their history? All the things that they fought through and finally rested in the favor of the Lord. How did they forget their God? How did Israel become so unfaithful? Much like Americans today. I'll stand on my patriotism for a little bit. This is my flesh speaking. But much like Americans today, how many of you have forgotten to completely disregard, don't care, never give it a second thought until it's one of those federal holidays I don't have to go to work and I get to go to Walmart because they have a special on for Memorial Day? Do you know what Memorial Day was for? Who it was for? Or Veterans Day? The 2 days out of the year that we get? Look, don't patronize me. I know people appreciate my service. That's not what I'm trying to stand here for. All right, I don't need that. What I want to tell you is that you have Americans right now walking around who completely disregard the blood that was shed for them, the willful blood that was shed for them to create the history of this nation, to keep those Ten Commandments up, the ability to keep the church doors open. Because if not, the communists would have took over and the church would have been burnt down with the pastor and the parishioners in it. Go to Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington. Go see what life will be like in New America. New York City. New Orleans, Louisiana, Atlanta, Georgia, L.A. These Democratic hell holes. Because they're a living hell. That's your future. Donald Trump can't stop it. Joe Biden's only going to spray more accelerant onto the fire. The only way that we stop this is as a nation, we stop our sin and get down on our knees and we repent as the people of God has done so many times. And so many times God raised a standard, God raised a prophet, God raised a man who led them in war. A man who brought them out of the darkness and into the light. But just as you're going to learn in Judges, every time that man was raised up, every time a judge was raised up, it was for a military fight, a military battle. And after the peace came and that judge had died, well, the new generation forgot. Strong times, remember? The strong times, the strong men creating those good times, and those good times that created the weak men, and then the weak men who created the bad times. That also has to do with the church. That also has to do with the leaders in this community, in this church. Weak pastors. They don't hit their knees in repentance of the sins that they've committed. My sister-in-law was telling me of this woman. I guess she calls herself a prophetess. And she is, her name is Juanita something. Can't remember. And she was saying, I feel the spirit moving. The spirit says someone's going to give $1,000. Take out your phone, get on your cash apps, and start donating. You should have drug her and her whole group out of the church and thrown her into the streets with the rest of the prostitutes. And that goes for every man and woman who claims to be a leader in this church. We are not even ashamed of our sins anymore. Judges 2, verses 11 through 15. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, the gods. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They went after the gods around them, and they bowed down to them. There's no way you can be a left-wing Democratic Christian. There's no plausible way that you can be that. Affiliate yourself with these groups. But it happens. You're not a Christian, I'll tell you that right now. I don't care if I offend you or not. I'm not here for friendship pay. You are living in sin, backslidden, backbiting, if you think that God will ever respect anything that you do as long as you continue to march in the same political direction as Baal or Moloch. But there's no conviction behind the pulpit anymore. There's no vindicta resting in the hearts of our pastors. There's no passion to get out there. Maybe even if I got to scare the hell out of you, scare some of you back into the church, at least then maybe one of you will be saved. But no, pour a little sugar on it, Doug. Tickle our ears. Tell us a fun story. Don't preach the word of God. Do you know how many emails I have received recently from people who have told me, don't preach the word of God. you're not mature enough. Because you don't believe in my flat earth theory. The shape of the world is not going to save you. It's going to damn you. And what happens when you get to heaven anyways, right? Let's say you made it. Congratulations. Here's your diadem. Here's your new cloaks. By the way, I'm Jesus. The whole reason why you guys are allowed. And then you say, well, hold on, Lord, that's great, but the earth isn't flat. Can you just pancake that for me so that I can be right for a second? Do you care? If I got to heaven and immediately upon arriving, I was handed my M16 and said, you're on post 1,220,000 and you're 5 minutes late. Congratulations, you made it. I'm going to click my heels and sprint all the way down there. Just glad I made it because I never deserved it. Just like most of you, you don't deserve it. We don't deserve the love that our God has willingly sacrificed for us. But that's the difference. Man's flesh. We can find faults in everything. In me especially, I can find my faults all day long. But we were so special in the eyes of our Maker. So different, so unique, set apart from the angels. Even made a little lower until we get there. And then we too will judge angels. You are a part of a honorable kingdom. You serve a king. And many of you should be acting like you belong to that royal family. But instead, you walk around acting like Paris Hilton. You think the whole world owes you something just because you're pretty, just because you got a little bit of money, just because you have this or you have that. You can treat people however you want. And you represent nothing of the kingdom. And then you dare say, God bless you sometimes to people. Now, look, I'm not picking on everybody, but I am picking on a few of you. And if you're feeling that little stirring conviction, it's because I'm probably talking to you. God's talking straight to you. Clean up your act. This is not what was expected of you. Just listen. Listen to what happens in Judges 2. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. I don't ever want to provoke the Lord to anger, ever. They abandoned the Lord, and they served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. He gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm. And as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Friends, there's going to come a day when America is going to get invaded. It's going to happen. Our politicians are going to make sure it happens. New World Order, all this other stuff, whatever. However you want to claim it. But if we do not straighten our act, and maybe it's too late, but if we don't straighten our act, we'll be given over to slavery. We will be plundered. We will march out onto the fields, and we will be cut down. Because the Lord sworn it. And we will be in terrible distress. And many of you will not make it. Most of you listening right now will not make it. Because you're not prepared to live like that. None of us are. We are wealthy people. Even from those living in poverty, we are wealthy compared to the rest of this world. But the Lord raises up judges. Judges 2, verse 16 to 23. Then the Lord raised up judges, who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. Again, they soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned their back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said, because of this people have transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers, and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not. So the Lord left those nations, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. What's the moral of this word today? If you ask for God's help, and he says, okay, I'll help you, but you must take care of these problems in your life as well, you better be ready to be fully committed to the cause. A half-hearted promise to God means nothing in the terms of our salvation or safety or prosperity. Friends, if you say, God, get me out of this bad situation that I'm in, and he says, okay, I'll help you, but first, stop hanging around all the people who are corrupting you and causing you to sin. How about that? How about you stop indulging your sins and obey my commandments? Then we can start talking about getting you out of that bad place. If you ask this of God, you better be ready to finish what you started. We could not survive communism. Some of you here in America grew up in communism and socialism. Why are you not there anymore? Why are all those who believe in communists, who believe in socialism, why aren't they in Cuba or Venezuela? Why don't you flee to China? Because in your heart you know why. Those places suck. That's why. You don't want to be there. You want good food, access to medical. You want access to schools. Even though you may hate us, police, and you call us pigs, you like the fact that cops are walking around doing their jobs. Maybe not always the greatest of jobs. But you live in this society because it is the best society in the world. But the moment you take God out and you decide that this great society isn't worth it anymore, you know what's going to happen? Many of you are going to be crying out to God to deliver you, your family, our nation. And on that day, ask yourself, will he listen? once we're already held captive and back in bonds. When we live in a land of distress, terrible distress. Gunfire every day. Buildings on fire. Homes being pursued by hordes of people breaking in. The raping and the robbing. Human trafficking. That won't be a thing. It'll be open market slavery. Just like when this country began. It'll all come back. Every bit of our sins will come back to haunt us. The answer is in the body of Christ. I have to ask myself sometimes, are we worth it? Are we worth this pursuit? Will God find us wanting and say, nope, I've given you enough chances. How many men of God do I have to send? How many prophets do I have to send? Because of the printing press, all of you have a Bible now. On all your smartphones, you can download the Bible app and read it. What excuses do we have to continue to sin? What excuses do we have to continue to ignore God? To blaspheme in front of Him? To ignore His voice? Ignore the commandments? And then we say, oh Lord, these bad things are happening to me now. Please come rescue me. So if you're living like that, friends, I would tell you to get right with God. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. God be with us all. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.